You will take your Bibles and open up to Mark chapter 9 in verse 43. I'm going to read from that text. Brother Art read the text for us over in Matthew. I want to turn over the text in Mark and read that as well to give us a greater appreciation for this text and the importance of putting God first and remaining pure in our lives. And let's face it, living a pure life in today's world seems difficult for us at times, and is difficult for us at times. But with God, all things are possible. It truly is. This morning we already sat down in our class with my girls, and Brother Ryan's been teaching us of the book of Daniel, and you think about difficult and hard times. Oh, for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in difficult times, as chapter 3 and chapter 4 open up for us, and they stood with God, and because they stood with God, God was with them and strengthened them, and they were able to do great things. And so it is with us. When we long to be pure in God's eyes, not in our own eyes or somebody else's eyes, but long to be pure in God's eyes, God can really bless us and do great things through us. And so read with me this morning in Mark chapter 9. In verse 43, beginning. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than to have two hands and go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than to have two feet and to be cast in hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Kind of interesting how many times that phrase is used over and over again in this text. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than to have two eyes and to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. But if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. I love this text. I love both of these sets of verses because it speaks of responsibility. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of longing to be pure in God's eyes. All of these thoughts we've already sung about this morning. I want to continue that thought with this lesson this morning as well. It's interesting in this text, especially in the Matthew text, that Jesus uses the right eye and the right hand to teach that the dearest objects in this life must be abandoned if they are causing us to come short of pleasing our God. Let me ask you a question. When you think about the right eye and the right hand, what significance does that carry for you? Any of you that have maybe broken your right arm and had to use your left arm, understand those principles, don't you? It changes your life drastically. Not long ago, I've got some dust in my eye, my right eye, and it made perfect sense to me, this illustration now, because I couldn't use my eye for a while. But it carried greater significance in this day and time. You see, when we talk about the right eye, it was considered a valuable eye far much more than the right eye, the left eye, because you used this in battle. It was a significant tool for you. When it went with the right hand was one that you used to swing your sword with. And so to lose either your eye, your right eye, or your left hand left you unable to defend yourself. And so when we think in those terms, Jesus tells us the things that are most valuable to us on this earth, if they are holding you back, if they are becoming a stumbling block for you from pleasing your God, what should you do? And you see, that's a sobering thought to think about. I don't believe Jesus is advocating here mutilation of our bodies. I believe there's a greater message, a greater meaning that is given to us in this text than just simply cutting off our hand or our foot or plucking out our eyes. Drastic as that might seem to us, there's a greater message that is needed. And those of you that are young and are dating need to pay close attention to this lesson, because not only should you be mindful of how you are living your life, but the person you're dating, are they conscious about this? Is their main desire to be pure in God's eyes? To do everything that is pleasing to God? As you've watched them, have you watched them sacrifice things in their life that maybe might be dear to them, but in order for them to get closer to God, they sacrifice those things? Have you seen that with your eyes, or have you seen the opposite? If you've seen the opposite, that should be a telltale for you to end that relationship. Those of us that are married and our spouses are not doing this, we need to encourage them to do this. Sacrifice all to be pure in God's eyes. I tell you, there's no room and wiggle room for us to take the fence on this matter in this text. Jesus is very, very clear. And he teaches four valuable lessons that we'll look at very quickly this morning. The first one being the value of your soul. Your soul is valuable. Very valuable, as we'll talk about very quickly this morning. The second lesson that Jesus teaches us is that the danger of sin. It is dangerous to play with sin. I wonder if that's not a lesson we need to hear more of in our lives as Christians. He also teaches us about the wrath that is to come. And then the fourth lesson, the necessity of discipline. Something that we are losing in today's society. So let's look at the first one this morning. The value of the soul. How much value are you? You know, you think about the things... Recently, one of my friends posted on Facebook, the one that dies with the most toys wins. You've probably seen that on the back of some pickup truck somewhere, usually hauling a motorcycle or a four-wheeler. Is that true? The person that dies with the most toys, does that person win? And then the next question would be, if that is true, what does that person win? What award will he get? You see, we laugh at that, and we say, well, that's just crazy. But yet, when we line our lives up with that statement, for many of us, that becomes all so true, doesn't it? We live our lives for things. We sacrifice our time with God for things. And Jesus tells us in this text, the most valuable thing that you possess is your soul. And we forget that sometimes. We sacrifice our soul for so many different things. Look back at that text that was read for us just a moment ago by our brother Art. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 29 there. What's it teach us there in this text? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. And he goes on to say this, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Do you know what that verse teaches us? Your soul is more valuable than your hand. Your soul is more valuable than your foot. It's more valuable than your eye. And yes, it's more valuable than your happiness and your desires here on this earth. Now think about that for just a second. You see, we might equate our hand as our soul, our happiness as our soul. But our hand doesn't go on in eternity. Our foot doesn't either. Neither our eyes. You see, the message that Jesus is giving us here in this text is very clear. And as Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, the message was loud and clear. God must come first and protect your purity, because there's a day coming when He will judge all. And how will you be with your soul come that day. You know, this is not the first time or the last time this idea of the soul is talked about with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what's it say there? Actually, let's begin in verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And then it says this, a very profound statement that we often look at, but think very little about in verse 26. For what profit is it to a man? We're all about profits, aren't we? Let me ask you a question. If I told you I knew of an investment where if you invested $10 and you would reap in 5 years $1 million, would you be jump all over that? We would, wouldn't we? We're all about profits, aren't we? None of us likes to throw our money away. We like those coupons. We like to have more. We're all about gains. If we can gain more, then we're happy, right? Do we really need a 96-ounce glass of pop when we go through the drive-thru? No, but if we get the small, what do we feel like? We've been gypped, right? We're all about gains. The more we gain, the better we feel, right? Well, what does Jesus say about this thought process in verse 26? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then it says this in verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, without question, there is no doubt, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And I'm grateful for that kingdom. I'm grateful I can be part of that kingdom. But make no mistake, and let us all hear very clearly this morning that your soul is the most valuable thing that you possess. Make sure, as Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, no doubt as he was preaching this, this was one of the great thoughts in his mind. Make sure as you live your life in the pursuits that you pursue, the people you date, you marry, whatever your choices are here on this earth, make sure that protecting your soul from that fiery judgment is number one on your mind. The soul is worth more than all of this world. That's hard for us to comprehend and even fathom. And one of the other significant points that Jesus brings out in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 28 is the soul cannot be destroyed by man. It adds extra significance to it, doesn't it? Man can destroy a whole lot of things, right? I remember saying one time in a dark time in my life, I wish I could find the perfect church, local church, to preach at. You know what happened if I found that perfect church to preach at? It wouldn't be perfect anymore, would it? Because I'd be part of it. Man destroys all things. We destroy families. We destroy children. Men who should be behaving as men behave like mere children, causing the downfall of the family. Men and women destroy local congregations over opinions and feelings. But the soul goes on. You can break somebody's spirit, but the soul goes on. You see, we can't destroy it. We also find in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the soul is the very object of God's love. Brother Ben led us in the Lord's Supper this morning. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come to this earth? Have you stopped to contemplate that in the last little while? Why did he come? I'll tell you, he didn't come to make your life happy. That's a byproduct of serving God, but that wasn't his main intention in coming to this earth. He came and provided an opportunity for you and me to be holy in God's eyes, that we can be with him in eternity. That's why he came. To provide that forgiveness for us. And so when we think about the value of the soul, God sent His Son down to this earth to die for you. It's a testament to how He feels about the value of your soul. He loves you. His Son came to this earth to die for you. And so when we think about our soul, when we think about somebody else's soul, we need to understand the soul is valuable to God. He wants to redeem the soul. But see, Jesus in this text also teaches us that there's danger in sin. Let me take you very quickly back to Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. Sin was prominent on the world. Not long ago, the children and I and Heather, her mom and dad, treated us to go down to see the replica of the Ark. And that was pretty awesome to behold with your eyes, to be able to walk through that and think, wow, this is close to the size of the Ark. Wow. And to think that they did all of this, Noah did all this with his hands. You see, there was a time where sin was predominant in this world. So much so that Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 teaches us that God destroyed the earth as we know it. You see, sin and the dangers of sin, we need to be aware of. Sin caused the destruction of this earth. Sin also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. And sin is a reproach to all people. We know that because that's what Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 teaches us. It's a reproach. It's a stumbling block. I like that text because it really emphasizes that point for us. The sin becomes a stumbling block for all mankind. Look with me just for, I wasn't going to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 14, I love the wording in Proverbs chapter 14. It teaches us much about this idea of sin. In verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the idea there, it's a shame, it's a disgrace, it's a stumbling block. You see, the problem with today's world is we've lost our shame. We don't feel shame anymore. You go back 10 years ago and we were shameful of sin. Go back just a little bit prior to that and people would never dare be caught living with each other, but yet it's a common thing today, right? People sleeping together before marriage, if they did it, they never talked about it. But yet it happens on a regular basis, and it's sad to say it's crept into local congregations. We've lost our shame. I believe it's because we've lost the understanding of what sin is. You see, and Proverbs teaches us again that righteousness exalts a nation. It brings up a nation. But sin, it's a reproach. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. It's a stumbling block. That's what sin is. And if not caught, sin will bring forth death. And ultimately, sin will send our soul to hell. Sin is dangerous. And that's what one of the points that Jesus is making in this text with plucking out our eyes or cutting off our hand or our foot. He's teaching us, beware of sin. Sin will cost you dearly. Those things we often refer to as little sins, they're very big. It'll cost you your soul, the thing that is most valuable to us. Jesus also teaches about the wrath to come in this text. The soul that sins dies. In Ezekiel chapter 18, a book that we don't often turn to and study and preach on, there are some valuable lessons. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says this, very clearly and very plainly, as I've already stated, the soul who sins shall what? What's it say? Shall die. The soul that sins shall die. And then it goes on to say this, the Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. teaches us much about life, right? Those of us that are 30 and younger, you might as well quit using excuses in the sight of God. The reason your life is the way it is because you made it that way. You've done it. And Jesus is setting such a profound lesson in this text in Matthew 4 on the Sermon on the Mount. The soul that sins shall die. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, if uncorrected, that same soul will be cast into hell. And that hell will be for an eternity. Is sin serious? It is, isn't it? Very serious. And the minute, as James would teach us in chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, the minute sin enters our mind, it's then that we need to put an end to it, a stop to it. Don't think about it, because that desire will eventually lead to death. Sin is the ultimate enemy of our soul. And there is wrath to come for the one who has not taken his soul seriously before God. Let me close by simply saying this. There is discipline that's needed in our lives. We have to discipline ourselves. As Jesus emphasizes, to the extent that we would pluck our eye out or cut our hand or cut our foot off, discipline is needed. Drastic measures need to be taken in our life if we are to be holy and pleasing to God. I appreciate so much the words that Brother Ben led around the Lord's Supper this morning. Being a Christian is serious. It's serious. And I wonder if we've lost some of that as we live our lives as Christians today. We like the joyful times and all the good that comes with being a child of God. But when it comes to our responsibilities to God, it's then that we become not so serious about it, right? And Jesus is teaching them to be serious. To discipline your body. If your body needs to lose a body part, a prominent body part, in order for you to take seriously your relationship with God, then lose the body part. Because it's not okay to play Christian. It's serious. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 5, actually let's begin in verse 1. It really sets the tone for us here. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Again, testifying to where our minds need to be. Not on this world, but on something far greater. Set your minds, program your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. I know all of it. You're probably like me. You get a new TV or you get a new VCR, not VCR, DVD player. You got to program that thing, right? And that, I'll tell you what, I have to call Heather all the time. I hate programming those things. And then if you're like us, you got 4 or 5 remotes and you got to program this one to do that. And it's hard and it's difficult. But when it's done, it's such a joy, isn't it? To be able to take that one controller and turn that TV on, work the volume, turn off this, turn on that. It's such a joy. Set your minds on things above and not the things of this earth. Why? For Christ died, and your life is hidden in who? Christ in God. Right? Now think about that for just... Isn't that what we've been talking about up till this point in this lesson? The value of your soul, and Christ died that your life can be hidden in Him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's what we're talking about. That's what we talked about in this last slide, right? This wrath to come. None of us wants to face the wrath of God. None of us here this morning. You wouldn't be here this morning. If you desired the wrath of God, you wouldn't be here this morning. You want none of that. Verse 5, therefore, because of all the things we've just read and studied up till this point, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Think about that. Put to death. No longer live for the things of this earth, but live for God. If your eye sin is causing you to sin, take drastic measures. If your hand is causing you to sin, take drastic measures. Your feet, take drastic measures. That you might be right with your God. When it comes to evil, we need to discipline our body and abstain from it. I want to close with Proverbs chapter 23. I would have liked to have spent more time on this last point this morning, but I think this will all suffice. In Proverbs chapter 23, so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, it simply says this. Proverbs 23 and in verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now think about the first part of that verse. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So he is. Keep your hearts pure. Keep your hearts pure. Because without keeping our hearts pure, we lose our soul in hell. I've always said it's a joyful thing to come together with the people of God. But worship is nothing to take lightly. And when we come to worship God, we ought not to come here with a light heart and a light mind. That's not God's intent for worship service. It's a joyous thing, but it's a serious thing. And I put before us, just like worship service, living as a Christian is a joyous thing, but it is serious. And if your husband or your wife is not taking it serious, it's your responsibility to teach them. The person you're dating, they're not taking it serious. It's your responsibility to educate them as well. Our children, they're not taking it seriously. Whose responsibility is it? It's mine. You see, playing church won't cut it. It never has, and it never will. Jesus sent his son to die for your soul. Your soul is the most valuable thing that you possess. You can lose it in eternity, or you can gain much. The choice is yours. And we hope this morning that you'll choose to become a child of God, to have your life right with him, so that when that time comes, you pass from this earth, the Lord returns, you are ready to meet your God. How awful it will be for you to stand in judgment unprepared to meet your God. We don't wish that for you this morning. Are you willing to make the confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God? If you're willing to make that confession this morning, then we're ready to baptize you. We'll aid you in your efforts this morning to get your life right with God. And if you're here and you're a Christian, you've not been living right, why not fix that? Maybe you've not taken your soul seriously up till this point. Maybe you've thought in your life up till this point that everything is okay. But this morning it has hit you like a ton of bricks. It's time for you to be serious as a Christian. I'll tell you, brother, sister in Christ, there's no more greater time to fix that than here and now. We're going to stand and sing. Pray to God. Ask him for forgiveness. If you'd like us to pray with you, we will do so with tender and humble hearts. But the choice is yours. As I've always said, the choice will always be yours. What will you do with this lesson? What will you do with it? I hope you do something with it that is righteous in nature. As we stand and as we sing.